Okay, how many of you are up on your daily Bible reading? I see. See your hands. Wait, let me see them higher. I can't tell much. Okay, we may have to catch up here early in the year. For the record, Dan Gray and I did not coordinate that prayer in this lesson. Okay? If having said that, you could hear that again, you would really appreciate how closely tied together his prayer and this lesson are. Back about 3 or 4 years ago when I first started preaching, a young lady called our house and she wanted to know where in the Bible it said that all men were created equal. And I suggested to her that I didn't think that that was probably a Bible scripture, and she got a little hostile, and because she knew it was. And so I said, well, I tell you what, when you find it, call me and I'll apologize. And of course, I haven't received that call yet. I'm still waiting. But there are a lot of little sayings that we've collected along the way that have a lot of truth in them. Probably you've heard the one that says, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Well, if you haven't, you're probably going to see an example, classic example of that today, because I'm going to talk to you today about politics. And the passage that I want to begin with is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas, and still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I'm thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. A little interesting aside here in this context, there in verse 11, where it says, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. The Greek word for quarrel is eris. That would be the anglicized way of saying the Greek word, E-R-I-S. And Eris, in Greek mythology, was the goddess of disunity and strife. Now, if you think I'm making that up, Google it and see. And Eris was, in Greek mythology, constantly interjecting something into situations to cause disunity and strife. This passage sets the stage for Paul's rebuke that disunity and divisions keep us from being spiritual. And to be real honest with you, that's what I want to touch on this morning. And I want to remind us, I don't expect to be teaching you anything that you don't know. I just want to remind us while we're all together. This topic about disunity will continue all the way through chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 3, Paul begins by saying, because of the jealousy and quarrels and disunity among you, I cannot address you as spiritual, because you're hung up on other things, and other things are important to you. The solution to this division was to preach only the cross. He says, Paul, of course, was a highly educated man. And he said, but I came not knowing anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I will preach with really simple words so that the power of the cross won't lay in any man's wisdom. But it will be properly channeled where it's supposed to be. And so, In essence, I'm going to suggest to you what he was saying about all the things that were bringing disunity and jealousy and strife into the church there at Corinth. He was saying to them, leave those things out. The result will be that you will become spiritually discerning rather than worldly wise. Now, the purpose of this lesson is to remind us that politics has no place in the church. Now, that's about as straight across the table as I know how to say it. Your level of involvement in politics is a personal decision. God has on occasion selected great spiritual men to be leaders in high positions of responsibility and authority in secular governments. Joseph would be one of those in Egypt. And it was God's will to bring him to power, wasn't it? Daniel would be another classic illustration. He not only became extremely high in political government in Babylonia, but some many years later in his old age, he once again rose to a high political position in the Medo-Persian government. And so he spent much of his life, the bulk of his life, in a high political office. And these nations in which these men served prospered and were blessed because of their righteousness. Paul writes a sobering principle of warning regarding the danger of a Christian allowing ourselves to have divided loyalties. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, he says, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. A similar principle regarding an even more personal matter, but a very similar teaching, in writing to the Corinthian Christians regarding their choice of whether or not to get married, he will say, it's a personal choice. For me, I've decided to stay single, and he gives some reasons why he made that choice. And then he will add, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you. I want you to live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. And I want to say to you, I want to echo those same sentiments. It is not my intention to restrict you, but it is my intention to remind us of some things that will enable us to live in a right way with undivided devotion to the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35. A Christian is to avoid every relationship that would put us in a compromised position with divided loyalty. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, in no situation bind yourself to a person who is an unbeliever or put yourself in a position where you're going to compromise your integrity and your loyalty to the Lord. These passages are saying that we as Christians are to avoid any and all commitments and relationships that will divide our loyalties or detract from our total commitment to the Lord and His church. Now, how are we going to do that? How are we going to accomplish that? Well, I'm going to suggest to you, again, I say to you, it's a very personal decision that you make about what level of involvement that you decide to be involved in government or in politics. But the purpose of this lesson is to cause us to get a few principles straight in our head again, to remind us of some principles that I think will guide us to make wise decisions in that light. And some of this may shock you. And I don't apologize if it does, I guess. I started to say I apologize if it does, but I don't apologize. My first point is, the United States of America is not God's nation. My real future, my hope, my security in my life does not rise or fall with this nation. And whether or not we pass a health care bill, you're going to die. And you're going to live until you die. And that's really not the important issue. The important issue is, what are you going to do with your life until you die? And that's important because your answer is going to determine what you'll be doing after you die. My concern is, are you more concerned with and spend more time involved in political agendas than you do using your talents to serve your commanding officer? God may have a few people that are Republicans. He may have a few people that are Democrats. He may have a few folks that are independents. But just to put all this in a proper perspective, if you don't know it, God has some people that are communists. I know some of them. Now you let that sink in. I read somewhere, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, bond, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. I think that was in the Bible. I think it was Galatians 3:28. And what that says is, we as Christians get beyond the things that divide this world. And we don't allow them to divide us as Christians. It's really easy to find yourself sidetracked on issues that deal with this life rather than eternal life. That's my first point. My second one is, the church is God's nation, not the United States. I have a higher allegiance to God's church than I do this country. I'm more concerned about the welfare of the church than I am the welfare of this country. I'm more concerned about your spiritual health than I am your physical health. And you might think, well, you don't care very much about this country or its morals. You would be wrong. I put my hand on my heart and I'm proud to pledge allegiance to this country and to my flag. And I have to tell you, my heart swells with pride a little bit when I saw those four bobsledders last night stand on that podium and put their hand on their heart when a certain song was played. And I have to say, I feel a little bit of resentment to those who don't. I get angry when somebody burns my flag. I vote. I pay taxes. I render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. I have strong feelings about some of the directions that my country is taking. And I'm willing to voice them in the proper venue. I've written numerous letters to and called and discussed matters with my elected officials. I've written articles that have been published in various newspapers regarding moral issues of our day that I believe are important. But I'm determined that my personal involvement in the affairs of this country will never eclipse my concern or involvement in the work of the Lord's church. And I also believe that I have a responsibility to ensure that my political involvement and my political concerns never drive a wedge between me and a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe this will help us make wise decisions about how much we should be involved in any given matter, whether it's political or otherwise. And here's my principle. When the Lord returns and He thumps a match on this whole world, will I be proud of what I have spent my life involved in, my time, my energy, my concerns, my resources, my emotions? Will I be proud of those things at that point when I stand and watch that smoldering mass that the Lord said all along that He was going to destroy? When there are no more earthly governments, when all the stuff is gone, will I be proud to stand before Him and give an answer of what I've spent my life, energy, time, concerns, resources on? That's my second point. My third point is, someone will say, but God commands us to be salt and light. And herein lies very probably the primary scriptural justification that someone will make for being heavily involved in politics. And again, I'm saying to you, it is a personal choice, and I'm not saying that it's sin to be involved in politics. I'm saying you do it with the right perspective, whatever your level of involvement you choose. But someone says, God has commanded us to be salt and light. And my response to you is, where? Where did you get that? And you will say to me, are you crazy? That was our scripture reading this morning. How about if you turn over there with me? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I'll give you time to get there. Matthew 5. And let's start looking at, this was our scripture reading, beginning of verse 13. You're the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Where in that did you see a command to be salt or light? Have you picked up on what I'm saying yet? There is no command there to be salt and light. You cannot make yourself salt, and you cannot make yourself light. You are salt, and you are light. God made you that when you became a Christian. And so it's not a choice of whether or not you're going to be salt or light. Your choice is, will I do what I have been created to do? Will I do what salt does in this world? Will I do what light does in this world? You don't have the power or the choice to make yourself salt or light. You are, if you're a Christian. You are salt. You are light. And what this text is teaching is, act like it. Be salty. Be light. You have the kind of influence. You do what salt and light were created to do. And you say, well, what was salt and light created to do? Well, interestingly, he didn't leave that to your discretion. He told you. It's created in verse 16 to cause people to praise your Father in heaven. How? By observing your good deeds. That's what you were created to do. And when you do that, you are salt, you are salty salt, and you are bright light. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I know this is kind of a strange sermon. And I want to be clear one more time. And I like the fact that it's on tape because people tend to get a little perturbed about lessons like this. I'm not saying that involvement in politics is sinful. I'm not saying that. I am saying that every one of us needs to think spiritually about everything. And that there are many things in this world that can keep us from thinking spiritually and cause us to think, as the Bible will say, according to the flesh. And be concerned only about things and primarily about things in this world. And it's really easy to allow those things to take our time and our energy and our money and our talents and not put them in involvement and commitment to the Lord and to His work. And to cause us to forget what our purpose in life is. I mean, that's one of Satan's primary targets for you as a Christian. If he can just get you to take your eyes off of the goal, then you can do good things in your life. If he can get you to quit focusing on what your purpose in life is. And also, these things tend to cause divisions in the Lord's church. And they don't have a place in doing that. And I'm very confident that the things that the Corinthians were jealous about and quarreling about were things that they considered really, really important. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been quarreling about them. And he said, leave those things out of the church. You have convictions and I have convictions. Be wise about when, where, and how you voice those and how you choose to implement those. Put the Lord's church in His kingdoms first, and God will take care of that. I do love this country. But my hope and my future and my security doesn't rise and fall with the welfare of this country. And when we get our perspective right, I want to tell you that that's one of the blessings of being a child of God. It wasn't, you didn't choose to be born in the United States of America. You could have been born somewhere else under a totally different type of government. And you could be a Christian there. And we really need to prioritize our life and make sure that our life is all about the important things. We are God's people. And we are the best citizens of any country anywhere in the world. We are law-abiding people. But our future and our security, our hope doesn't depend on any worldly government. And that's the blessing, one of the blessings of being a child of God. That regardless of what happens in this world, regardless of whatever you consider to be the worst thing that could happen in this world, that can't separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't get sidetracked in your life. Don't lose your focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay salty. I'm a little afraid to say that to some people. Stay bright. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13:6. And somebody says, well, he can kill you. He can. He can. But he just punched your ticket to go home. Choose eternal blessings. Let's stand and sing.